Mark Dayton says he sold his stock to show he's serious about running for Senate. The department store heir says he'll invest his money in bonds and in money markets, and he says if he's elected, he'll place his portfolio in a blind management trust. Dayton says he made the decision last week before learning of a new negative ad against him, the third in a string of ads questioning his motives for selling stocks in industries he has spoken out against on the campaign trail.
From the very beginning of my adult life, I have taken positions on issues that run against my own economic interest. I think everybody in Minnesota knows now that I was lucky enough to be born into wealth. I own various stocks from a whole variety of companies that I have sold over time in order to finance campaigns and other political causes, many of which went against my own financial self-interest.
Graham says Dayton is a hypocrite, that previous decisions to sell off stock have had everything to do with politics and nothing to do with personal convictions.
It's one thing to be concerned now, but are these crocodile tears when they weren't 6 months ago?
And Graham is standing by the latest ad.
I don't look at these as being attacks. I think we need to come out and define exactly what Mark Dayton has done and what is he about. And I think it's if it comes down to saying, why did he sell these stocks now, whether they're energy stocks or pharmaceuticals, and then his rhetoric accordingly.
Mark Dayton says Graham's ad suggests the incumbent doesn't want to focus on the issues.
I think it's beneath what I would consider the dignity of a United States senator to engage in that kind of personal invective. And as my mother taught me, you know, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And I think for him to engage in that kind of personal attack is like throwing a stone from a house made of cellophane.
The Democrat and Republican reserve their sharpest criticism for the separate interviews with reporters. On stage at two forums, they spend most of their time, along with Independence Party candidate James Gibson, talking about issues. It started in the morning in Brooklyn Center, where the candidates focused on energy policy before roughly 700 members of a group called the Minnesota Utility Investors. Senator Graham's tore into what he says has been the Democratic administration's lack of an energy policy. Graham says high fuel costs this winter will especially hurt Minnesotans because of the cold climate and the major cost of fuel and farming. Graham says the United States needs to set an energy policy that will reduce the nation's dependence on foreign oil. He says the Clinton administration's decision to sell off a fraction of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was inappropriate and poses a threat to national security.
It is all cosmetic. They want you to believe they're out there doing something to cover up the mistakes of this last 8 years. We need to put into place a good long-term energy policy where we are going to explore and develop more of our resources, and we can do this in a very environmentally friendly way.
Dayton agreed that the Clinton administration has not developed an adequate energy policy. But Dayton says to solely blame the administration for tight fuel supplies and increasing prices is simplistic and ignores the root of the problem, which he says is increasing demand for energy.
I would point out, and while it's not itself the sole solution, that if we're going to encourage greater domestic exploration for oil and natural gas, we ought to at least go back to the law that Congress passed in the early 1970s when it approved the Trans-Alaskan Oil Pipeline that prohibited any of that oil from being sold overseas.
Independence Party candidate James Gibson said the nation could ease the strain on energy production by moving ahead with deregulation and allowing market forces to take over.
We need to streamline the process for bringing new facilities online. I think those are probably the key issues. The other thing we have to be very careful about intervening in a market. If you expect the market to work, sometimes you just have to let it work.
All three agreed the nation needs to open a nuclear waste repository as soon as possible. The Utility Investor Forum turned out to be more cordial than Graham's had intended. He departed from an opening statement his campaign distributed to reporters as the event got underway. The senator chose not to read several lines of prepared remarks, suggesting Dayton's picture belongs next to the word hypocrite in the dictionary for crusading against big companies from which he has profited. The candidates regrouped a short time later in Ham Lake for a debate sponsored by the Metro North Chamber of Commerce, which aired live on Minnesota Public Radio. There, during a discussion about Social Security, Graham's defended his proposal to allow people to invest in private retirement accounts, most of the money that now goes to Social Security.
If we were going to invent Social Security today, we would never have the same system as we have now, because it just can no longer work.
But his opponents criticized Graham's privatization proposal. Dayton said Graham's uses conservative economic forecasts to predict shortfalls in Social Security, then relies on rosy forecasts to suggest private accounts are the solution.
You can't have it both ways. If you want to take your system and say no one's going to come out behind, everybody's going to gain, the $13.5 trillion that you yourself say will be the transition cost from one system to another can easily be afforded, then you've got to assume a set of economic assumptions that are extremely optimistic, hopefully will be realized, but then you also got to apply those to the alternative and see where will the people of Minnesota and America come out most ahead.
James Gibson questioned Graham's and Dayton's numbers, particularly as they relate to paying down debt owed to the Social Security Trust Fund. He agreed with Dayton that Graham's plan does not adequately account for its expenses.
I still don't think, Senator, that you have outlined how you're going to handle the transition costs.
I have. Hey, you've got to read my plan.
Well, I have,
because
and
you haven't read it.
One of the ways you propose to deal with the transition costs is simply to slash non-discretionary spending by 5%.
Well, no,
this is
I've
a non-starter.
On gun control, all three said they supported the Second Amendment. Gibson and Dayton said they support requiring gun owners to use trigger locks. Graham's does not. On military preparedness, Graham's charged the Democratic administration with neglecting national security and said he favors more military spending.
You saw what we were able to do in Desert Storm in 1992. We could not do that today because of the way our military has basically not been updated as it should have. So I strongly support that. Do I say we just give them carte blanche? No.
Gibson said it's hard for him, from the outside, to determine whether more military spending is necessary. He did say any spending should be based solely on need, not politics. Sticking with the omnipresent theme of his campaign, Gibson said ultimately one of the best ways the U.S. can remain secure is to address the national debt.
You know, I'm for higher level of government services. I'm also for lower taxes. But long term, we're going to meet that goal by paying down the national debt.
Dayton suggested the U.S. should redirect military spending to more sharply focus on the United States.
I think we need a much stronger patrolling of our immediate borders by our armed forces. I think the greatest threat to our national security today is the flood of illegal drugs coming into this country that are corrupting our kids, our young adults on the streets. And I think that's where we ought to have a much stronger military presence and interdiction capability.
Dayton summed up his afternoon debate appearance with a call for more federal funding of education. Gibson warned that failure to address the debt could seriously hurt the next generation. Graham's, who's been all but ignoring the Independence Party candidate, said voters have a clear choice between his vision of a scaled-back government versus what he says is Dayton's emphasis on turning to the government for solutions. This is Mark Sedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio.